Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Chris McCall, who is co-founder with his wife Caitlin of McCall's Collective, a brewery that opened here in 2020 on Susquehanna Street in South Allentown, actually Southeast Allentown. Chris, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Chris, I'm assuming the word collective in your name comes from the family nature of the business with you and Caitlin and your brother Matt, who are all integrally involved. How'd you three first get into craft beer and brewing?
That is a good assumption. That is correct. And, it was kind of each of us has our own little story, but the high level is, early 2000s, craft beer is kind of exploding all over the U.S. We all turned 21. We start off with our Miller Lights and slowly switch to Blue Moons. And it was actually my brother, who's our brewer, as you mentioned, who was, I think, really one of the first to really start to develop a palate. And then he was brewing some different beer for us. And then meanwhile, I didn't even know my wife at this point. She was working at the Spinnerstown Hotel down in Quakertown. And
good beer destination?
Yes, great beer destination. And she started to kind of get into craft beer, serving it and selling it down there. So kind of ended up being this perfect storm. And then when I met Caitlin, we just kind of expanded and blossomed our love for craft beer together. And we ended up making a few vacations out of it. We've been out west. We've been to Chicago, Florida, mainly to visit friends, family, but also to check out craft beer scenes in those cities as well. So that's the long version short. And then my brother started to brew home brewing and then kind of turn that into a career, which we can get into. But yeah.
That's great. I got to tell you, my wife and I will often turn a vacation into a beercation as well. So I can appreciate what you've done there.
Yes, it's the best way. When you're in a city, it's the best way to get out and explore the city, in my opinion. You find great people. You find usually some pretty good food. And then if you do it right, you have some great beer as well.
So. I'm with you. We can talk about that offline, about our adventures that way. But talk about the decision to put your name on the business. I look, back in the days of the mass-produced beers, almost every beer had a surname on it, whether it was Coors or Busch or even Yingling. And you don't really see that much with new craft breweries. So what was your thinking with that?
I mean, basically, we went back and forth with names for like months, as we were really putting serious thought into opening up our own brewery. And yeah, at the end of the day, honestly, it just kind of came down to the fact that we didn't find another name that we liked better. And I love our last name, McCall. I just think it has a nice ring to it. It's very easy to remember. The unfortunate part is there's a McCall Brewing in Idaho, actually named after the town of McCall, Idaho. So we couldn't go straight McCall Brewing. So we ended up adding the collective, as you mentioned, to really signify not just my wife and my brother, but really like our graphic designer and brand manager's a very close family friend. And just my best friend and growing up does all of our marketing and social media and all that. So it really is like this collective group of us that have been working on this for a long time. So
Marcia, even your setting there in Allentown seems kind of collective. It's a very comfortable location with cozy with indoor and outdoor seating. How much work was needed to convert it from the previous short-lived brewery that was there?
Yep. No, you're 100%. I mean, my wife really was the one with the vision of like the collective part also then expands out to our customers and the tap room. We are predominantly a tap room first brewery. We want to have the bulk of our beer consumed on premise there. And as far as like the renovations go, but the nice part is our landlord, and we're just leasing the space there, had done a bulk of the work in regards to the exterior of the building, the doors, the windows, the HVAC. So for us, I mean, most of the work that we did went into the brew house, getting brand new equipment from a company out in Wisconsin, being able to modify the exterior and interior to bring that equipment, which is very large, into the building, and then all the plumbing and electrical. I mean, we had to upgrade our electrical to handle the larger equipment and the glycol chiller and things like that. And then as far as the aesthetics of the bar, the most of the work that, again, we did was really to center the whole space around these two bars. So we have this U-shaped bar that extends from one room into the other, and each have their own little unique look. We call one side the homey side. It has like a wood top bar, very friendly. We have another side that has like a faux concrete bar that's more of like an industrial sort of look. So, but in the tap room in general, it's very comfortable, inviting colors, lots of light, just overall a place where I think people in the 7 weeks that we've been open, have consistently told us like the most inviting brewery that they've been to in quite some time, which was really our goal from the beginning.
Well, it's great you were able to achieve that. Let's talk a little bit about the beers that you're brewing now. Do you have a couple core or flagship beers or styles that you're always looking to offer, and how did you land on those?
Yeah, absolutely. Our high-level beer philosophy is that we want to always have 6 to 10 beers on tap that people know and recognize, that they feel like they can come in really at any time and get at least a handful of those. A lot of breweries now will constantly be rotating their whole draft line, and we just want to be able to provide some consistency to our customers. So some of those beers feature, of course, some IPAs. We have our Lehigh and Little Lehigh, which is our session, and then our Full Body IPA. Those are both kind of the hazy, juicy variety. And then we have a beer called Collective Contributions, which is our hoppy wheat. We have a beer called Cineblonde, which is like a blonde ale brewed with Marianne's Donuts. We have a Roast Malone, which is a coffee amber ale. And then we have a Hit and Dingers series, we call it, which is a Berliner Weisse series. Her first one was a raspberry. We actually have a peach version of that in the fermenter right now. So those are just a couple of the everyday beers that we have. And then continue to expand. We have our first stout coming out actually this weekend of Halloween, October 30th. So that'll be a staple on the menu. So we continue to add new beers, keep on as much as we can. And then we have some other beers that'll rotate out spring, summer, winter, seasonals, things like that.
Well, I think when I was in with my wife about a month ago, it was refreshing to see some of those kind of standard styles with a little bit of the twist. You've seen a lot of cream ales, but I hadn't had it before with the touch of cinnamon or the Roast Malone. You see red ales, but not with touch of the coffee. So I found those to be intriguing, more so than just seeing how well that particular style is represented, about how you're elevating it maybe another notch up.
Yeah, I'm glad that you recognize that. And our two kind of goals are, one is to always stay true to the style, like the Berliner Weisse, which is, we call it a sour. I mean, it's not a pucker your lip sour, but it's got a little tart to it, but it's very traditional. Like it's a kettle sour. I mean, we brew the beer, we let it freshly sour in the actual kettle as it's supposed to be done, I guess, so to speak. So, and pardon me, I'm not a beer brewer aficionado myself, but we try to keep everything like our Cineblonde. I think a lot of people come in expecting this super sugary drink, and it's not. It's a blonde ale. It's got a touch of cinnamon, as you mentioned, to give it a little bit of extra pizzazz, but it's not super sugary mixed with a ton of lactose beer, which we always find really important.
Now, Chris, do you think there are particular styles that are, I guess, underappreciated? I mean, there's been such a focus on IPAs in the last 5 or 10 years that doesn't seem to be waning a whole lot, but I mean, I saw a good variety of styles on your tap list and just kind of wanted to get your perspective on what you see happening and what your customers are asking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just joking around with my brother. I work every Saturday night, and it's our busiest night, and I worked for probably 4 or 5 hours, mixture of touching tables and serving some tables myself, and I don't think I poured a single pint of our Lehigh IPA, which is fantastic because that means that people were drinking our Marzen, which is our kind of Oktoberfest, or the cream ale has been very popular, like you mentioned, which is a nice like 4% easy drinker, very reminiscent of like a Jenny cream ale. And it's great. I mean, we have a really, really well-balanced menu, I think, of beer. And then I think our customers, I know our customers take their time. We sell almost like by far the most flights. We probably sell flights 5-to-1 over anything else. But then when customers do get a pint or a 10 ounce of something afterwards, like it's amazing how many times it's not that IPA, how many times it is one of those other beers that's in our lineup. So it's really cool to see.
Well, I'm happy to see it as well. I like to explore different styles, and it's good to see that. Now, Chris, you and your family have had the experience of opening a new business venture during a pandemic, which a lot of people can't say. What challenges did that present to you, and what lasting effects do you see the pandemic having on craft brewing as an industry?
We signed our SBA loan and literally got our zoning approval on March 12th. So, I mean, you're talking 2 days before kind of the state started to shut down. So for us, it was like we kind of just sneaked in under that, and then we just shut down for like 6 weeks, 7 weeks until that May 1st deadline came, and we were able to kind of begin construction. But I think the benefit for us is we kind of knew the rules of the game as we were opening, as opposed to some of these breweries that were already open and they were kind of adjusting their business model week by week by week. So I think from that benefit, we definitely had a little bit of an advantage. But As far as the long-term stuff, I mean, like for us specifically, and I think really craft beer in general, but I know for us, it's been this to-go business. Like, we never planned on doing much business to-go. I mean, we bought a Crowler machine. We were always planning on doing those 32-ounce Crowlers of beer if somebody wanted to take something home. But it was like mid-April, and we were like, oh, man, like, what are we going to do? Like, what if we can't open? We're going to have all this equipment if we can't have a tap room. So we went out and we bought this tabletop canner. It's a semi-automatic, does professional canning for you right in the tap room. And we shifted some funds of our loan around to be able to afford it. And I mean, by far the best thing we've done yet. I mean, we were able to produce these shelf-stable 4-pack cans of every single beer we brew. So when we brew a beer, we put about 30% of that beer into cans. And we spent time on labeling and working with a local company on getting professional labels. And that aspect for our brand has really, really helped, because people can come in, even if they're not comfortable having a beer in the tap room, they can come in and take a 4-pack to go. Or if they did come in for dinner and really liked one or two of the beers, they take those and they take them home and share them, which is fantastic. And I don't see that going away. I mean, I know just from talking to Seven Sirens in Bethlehem and Bond in Bethlehem, I know those guys are spending considerable amounts of time canning right now, and that was never a part of either of their business models either. And I think in general, like, having that as an option for people, even hopefully long after the pandemic is gone, these businesses, I think, realize, like, wow, you can really spread your brand and get a wider audience if you offer a affordable and easy way to get the beer out of the tap room.
Hey, well, Chris, I appreciate your time, you sharing the story of you and your family opening here in Allentown. And certainly wish you the best for much continued success with the brewery there.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great chatting with you, and hopefully we'll see some folks in the tap room soon.
Hey, I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.